So I'm here in the studios of WNYC with Anna Sale from itsafreecountry.org. Celeste is off for a day. Anna, thanks for sitting in.
Of course.
So help me out here. Nation in the middle of unrest, possible revolution, civilian population threatened. You're not an invader, okay? You're not an ally, all right? You're not conducting an air campaign. Mm-hmm. What do you call yourself? Friend
that's
of Syria.
Question.
You're not an ally of Syria. You're not an invader of Syria. You're a friend of Syria. And that's really the question. 60 nations, that's what the friends of Syria are. Are they dithering over what to do about Syria? Or are they coming together to crystallize some kind of global consensus that Bashar al-Assad must go? Over the weekend, the so-called friends of Syria gathered once again in Istanbul. 13 months of fighting have left more than 9,000 dead. Recent mediation efforts led by United Nations Special Envoy Kofi Annan have failed to stop the violence, even as they have gained the attention of the Syrian leader. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton had a message of hope for the Syrian people.
The world will not waver. Assad must go, and the Syrian people must be free to choose their own path forward.
Tangible results, though? Well, Arab nations promised $100 million to pay the Syrian opposition fighters. The United States pledged to send communications equipment and another $12 million in humanitarian aid. Joining us is Amr al-Azm, who's a member of the Syrian opposition and also a professor of history and anthropology at Shawnee State University in Portsmouth, Ohio. Professor, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So let's just the tough question first. Amr al-Azm, is this enough for you? Do you say thank you or do you say thanks for nothing from the friends of Syria?
No, of course we have to say thank you. $100 million is not an insignificant amount of funding, and $12 million from the U.S. is also not insignificant in terms of what that has to offer. And communications equipment is very important. As you well know, it's vital for us to be able to organize and communicate on the ground with the people inside and also amongst themselves. That's a critical component. But at the same time, let us not forget that we need more from the international community in the terms of particularly finding ways of enforcing the will of the international community on Assad. And that's where I think the Friends of Syria meeting is still singularly lacking in finding the mechanisms that force that on Assad to make him comply with international community's request to basically stop killing his own people.
I'm wondering if it's possible that this is counterproductive in the sense that in the domestic propaganda battle, Bashar al-Assad says that the opposition is not legitimate. It's a bunch of foreign-financed terrorists. The headlines about $100 million from Arab countries going to the opposition helps Assad make that case. What do you say to that?
Well, I'm sure he would say that, but then we could also argue that he is foreign finance too, if we think of the amount of aid he is receiving from countries like Russia and Iran. So I think that argument cuts both ways, really. But I think that's a moot point. I mean, this did not – remember, this uprising started spontaneously in the small towns and cities scattered across Syria, and it did not wait for financing from the outside or from the international community. The people who have been dying and I know you mentioned over 9,000. Actually, it's well over 10,000 with many tens of thousands still missing, wounded, and so on and so forth. No one was waiting for funding in order to do that. So I don't think – That's not an argument to make, really.
Good point. All right, so let's talk about the SNC, the Syrian National Council. This is the institution that the international community in the form of these 60 Friends of Syria nations are attempting to bolster. What does it need to actually lead more of a credible insurrection against Bashar al-Assad? And if he were to leave tomorrow, would the SNC be ready to lead?
Well, the SNC, remember, is a very broad umbrella of many different opposition groups. And I think with any broad coalition, there are always difficulties in coordination and sometimes even perhaps differences maybe in terms of how certain how you implement. But again, I also need to stress to you that the SNC's role is primarily to coordinate the international community's effort to help Syria and also to coordinate the activity of the opposition, primarily also abroad. Internally, the opposition has been doing what it needs to do and has been doing it for over a year now. And in terms of its impact, the SNC doesn't really have that much impact on the ground, although now with the funding that is coming in, that will surely change. Mm.
Talking with Amr al-Azam, who's a member of the Syrian opposition, a professor of history and anthropology at Shawnee State University. As you know, the Alawite minority is Bashar al-Assad's power base. The Ba'ath Party, also a minority in political terms, not in ethnic or religious terms. But it would seem to me that any political stability in a place that's been ruled by a minority for so long would have to guarantee minority rights in a particularly aggressive way to have any sense of keeping the peace if there should be a regime change. Does the SNC have minority rights protections as a first principle?
Oh, yes. Look, this is I think minority rights, the protection of minority rights is a cornerstone of any democracy. I mean, it's there to prevent the tyranny of the majority over the minority. And in the core principles in the charter that was issued by the SNC and by other it was signed by all opposition groups, actually, it fundamentally guarantees that there is no discussion over that. A minority cannot become a tyranny over the majority, no more than a majority should be a tyranny over the minority. We seek to create a Syria that is for all Syrians.
Amr al-Azam, how is your family? I suspect you have family connections in Syria. You mentioned the number of dead and missing. Are you dealing with that personally?
Yes. I mean, personally, we know a lot of friends and family that have been killed or are still missing or have been imprisoned. And, my personal, tragedy, if you want, is minuscule by comparison to what others have had to suffer, places like Bab Amr in Homs or in Deraa and so on and so forth. And for me, my choice of joining the uprising was primarily I did not want to have to face my children or grandchildren one day and say to them, I did nothing, I had to do something.
Amr al-Azam, member of the Syrian opposition, professor of history and anthropology at Shawnee State University, with a story for his kids, certainly this morning. Thanks for sharing it here on The Takeaway.
Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.